Good morning, everyone. I guess I'm glad you all did come out today and didn't just show up later on for the food. You know how we do sometimes. But I'm glad you did come and worship with us this morning. It is an exciting day. There's a rumor that these misguided people on the corner of Western Branch and Taylor Road have decided to install a young man. Oh, see my girls. Hey, somebody likes me. But yeah, you didn't really have to clap. I wasn't looking for applause. But it's good to be up here one more time and good to see my sister in the house, all the way from Maryland, and my brother-in-law, Wayne, always in the back with the camera. If I ever ran for office, they would just call Wayne and I would have to step down. But it is good to have family and friends gathered for today. Also, my friend Jesse is here. You all haven't met Jesse. My father met him briefly, but Jesse is a dear, dear friend who has mentored me and coached me through this thing called ministry. And if you don't know, you need a coach and a friend in ministry. We need one in life, really, but God blesses us, especially those who are willing to do his service. And he provided me with Jesse at a point where I needed a friend. So thank you, Jesse, for coming out today. I won't hold you all too long, but I want to briefly speak from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm going to read from the NIV, so it may read a little differently. If you're reading from the Bible pews, Ephesians 2, and it reads as thus: As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. Father God, we ask you this day to just open our hearts, open our minds, humble us, that we can receive a word from you and have it reflect in our daily life. Help us to apply it to exactly who we are and where we are, so it will draw us closer to you and what it is you are trying to do with us and through us. Father, I ask that you consecrate me now by the power of your grace so divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and let my will be lost in thine. It's in the wonderful and matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. What are we worth? What are we worth? Last week, we did some accounting. We were talking about tax season and how when it's tax time, you kind of take an account of what we did last year. Where did our money go? Who did we spend it on? How much did we make? Where did I waste it all? But in that accounting, we looked at it from a biblical perspective of that God takes an account of things in our ledger, but it's a little different. He sees the suffering things of our lives, the troublesome things of our lives, and he counts them as joy. He uses them to draw us closer to him. And so this week, looking at our worth, we say, what are we worth? Maybe it's not something we can really measure, what someone is worth. When we think of wealth, we think of money. Some of us think that's kind of what our worth, where it stands. How much do we have? Our buying power. This word wealth, it's also has a lot of connotations, not just with money, but in legacy. You think of something that's generational, that goes on beyond while we're here. I was watching a documentary called Wealth with my wife, and the lady was taking a look at how we look at money and how it's changed over time, recent times, really just since the 70s, and how when she was growing up in the 60s, and money, her parents, who were growing up in the 50s, they were adults in their 50s and 60s, that they saw money as something that they saved. They were conservative with their money. They invested, right? Had a home, that was enough. Car. We lived within our means. But then something happened. Well, there's a lot of political, social angles of what happened. But something happened, and our idea of money and its value, it changed. It wasn't something that we saved so much as it was something we needed to have so we could spend it. And the more we spent, the more we consumed. And so we changed from a society of saving, living within our means, to kind of a society of insatiable appetites, wanting to spend. And we see it easily now, right? You just turn on the television and there's always something for us to buy, something else for us to that we need, that we have to have. And we see it in the kids, in their culture. This idea of always not having enough. And just throwing things away, the caution to the wind. Oh, maybe it's always been something to that effect. But this idea of the worth of our lives, it gets entangled in the same idea of how we treat money. We don't value our lives the same way. Life is almost fleeting. And how we see someone else's life, we don't value their life the same. So it's easy for us to look down on others, to judge, to stay in our little areas. Social media is just full of comments criticizing one another. What is our worth? Well, I want to kind of look at that today. Paul discusses this idea of where we were and where we are. This idea of being in the world, and it's the world's definition of our worth. And he transitions that to God's definition of our worth. So three ways I want to look at our worth today is we have to first define it. And secondly, we have to look at the position of it, the direction, if you will. And finally, its destiny. Worth has a destiny. Your worth is going someplace. It's not stagnant. So we look at the scriptures. Paul defines for us where we are in this world, what the world has to offer us, the ways of the world. He says that we were dead in our transgressions, in our sins, which we all lived among at some time or another. We've all fallen short of what God was trying to do in our lives. We're all born into a sin-soaked world. And so we all understand this idea of living insecurely, living in fear, living in a place of trying to figure out my worth. Who am I? What's my purpose? Is it my job? Is it these dreams I have? What is it that I'm here to do? What am I supposed to be? On the inside, we feel impoverished, like we need more. We live from a place of lack a lot of times in our lives. It's what the world gives us. It's a constant tone of insecurity. You're not quite good enough. You need to have this to be better. Oh, that car you had, that was 2018. You need the 2019 version. Those clothes you had, those were last year's. Those are old. Look at the new brands that are on the shelf. It's always a feeling of not good enough. Our worth is measured by what they're telling us. We all fall short by the expectations. Well, if that's how the world was going to be, that's where God would have left it. Just as it is now, part of it, not knowing what tomorrow brings, nations at war, not sure what's happening, don't feel in control of what's going on. That's all there is, if that's all there was. But Paul turns it here and shows us that the definition is not about what the world simply says. The definition isn't our insecurities in life, that it goes a little deeper than that. He says that God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, meaning that we were dead without Christ. We were in a place that we didn't understand what life really meant. And many of us going through our day to day, we struggle trying to figure out what it is life is asking us to do. Sure, we know our day to day. We have to get up. We have to go to work. We have to do our job, try to be nice to people. But are we really fulfilled on the inside? Are we really hearing what God is telling us on the inside? Are we looking to Him, turning to Him for our sustenance, for our answers? We spend a lot of our times in our minds thinking things through, falling, failing, getting up, trying to do it again. But Christ, in His mercy, says that we are rich. We are rich in Him because He has made us alive. He has awakened us to our death. He has already claimed a victory in our life. But do we claim that victory for ourselves? Do we look to Him and look at ourselves and don't see our inadequacies, our lackness, the things that we don't have, what the world is telling us that we need to prove? But do we see what God has done? That the love that He has started inside of us is not finished, but it's fulfilling His purpose. That is what is making us whole. It's not what the world is going to say, not the riches of the world, not the wealth of the world, but it's the awareness that awakens within us that Christ is alive. That Christ has already paid a price. And so no matter who I think I am, no matter what I think I'm worth, that definition that I've put on myself is mute to the victory I have in Jesus. That name that is above all names, Jesus, is not limited to the definitions of this world. It's not limited to the news hour, the next breaking story. There's not going to be a new scandal that comes out about Jesus. He's already claimed the victory. Paul says, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. So when we stop defining ourselves by the world's definition, we understand that our direction lies in a new position. It's in the position of the heavenlies. We are positioned with Christ. It's not just something that we can believe in and say, yes, I follow Jesus. It's not just something that we say, oh, well, I'm going to go to church on Sunday. In our minds, in our thinking, we have to begin to position ourselves seated with Christ in heaven. Oh, that doesn't seem real, Pastor. What are you saying? I'm here on earth. I'm trapped in this body. I know, but your mind can travel, can't it? Your mind has this thing called imagination, doesn't it? Imagine yourself positioned in the heavenlies, next to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However you picture that, it's not going to be in this place. It's going to be a place above all the sin of the world. It's going to be a place above all the travesties and the hardships and the heartaches that we have. It's going to be a place where we sit high and everything else we can look low. And in looking low on it, we can conquer the troubles of this place, the troubles of our life, the heartaches that weigh us down, the troubles we have in our growings up that we still can't get rid of. If we sit high, then we sit above it. And that's where Paul wants us to be. That's where he says Christ has called us to be. Last night, me and my wife went to a charity fundraiser for a group called Four Kids. They raised money for homeless families. And they do a great work all across the seven cities, housing hundreds of thousands of families and kids, after-school programs, educational programs, vocational programs. And so we're there, and one of the ladies that invited us, she's a lawyer, and she actually worked with Kelly at one point. They were at the same law firm. And she was telling us how she took a point and she said, I have to leave the firm I'm in. I've just been there too long. I had to leave. But it was a hard decision. She prayed and she prayed about it because she was scared to step out because she saw herself being in a good position. She was in a firm. She had other lawyers. It wasn't her name on the door, but she was still making good money. She didn't have the responsibility of all the other things, the rent, all the other people she'd have to take care of. She was in a good position, so she thought. But she felt God was calling her out of there to go on her own. And she finally stepped out. And when she stepped out, she got her own place. She rented a place here. She rented a place in Newport News. And she said she went, and when she rented the place, she didn't even really look at them. She was just making decisions so fast, trying to make it happen, trying to get herself set. And after a couple of months went by, she started getting clients coming through the door. Things were moving fast, but she took a moment, and she actually looked at her office. And she said she went over to the window, and she pulled off the curtains. And it was a beautiful view of the river. And she said God just spoke to her and said, now look at your position. Look where I've put you. You thought you were in a good position, but you knew you had to move. And because you stepped out on faith, believed in what I was calling you to do, now I've set you up in a better position. Now she's on the top floor of a building with her name on the wall, overlooking the river. If we trust him, if we understand in our minds that our position is not in this limited to this world, but he's called us. We sit with him already in the heavenlies. He'll change our position. And finally, it's our destiny that truly is our worth. Paul says in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. That's why he came. We wonder our worth. It's funny because I went shopping the other week to get some new clothes because I had an installation coming up. And I got home with some bags of clothes, and my wife said, oh, you went shopping? I said, yeah. Really? With whose money? As if I don't work. But we do share an account so she can see when things come out. And she didn't see any debits that day. She's like, well, with what money? I said, oh, it was out of my trust fund. Your trust fund? I was like, yeah, my trust fund. She kind of stared at me. I just stared at her, stone face. She kept staring at me. I kept staring back at her. And I said, well, my mom and dad took me. That's my trust fund. To them, I'm worth something. A little suit. But that's the legacy. See, we want to leave something. Christ left something. God wanted to leave something. So he gave us his worth. He gave us what he thought we were worth. His only son. He gave us himself. That's our worth. We're worth God coming down here, putting the great Almighty into a little vessel of flesh. To walk among us, to teach, to speak, to understand the dilemma of our condition. And in doing that, defeating the destruction of our situation. He's claimed the victory already. That's our worth. Our worth is his victory. Parkview, you have a legacy. We have a worth. And we will find it and continue to build it in Jesus' name. He has established this, and he will continue to build this. That's our worth. That's our worth. As Carolyn comes, if there is a one, if you're not sure your walk with Christ is secure,